like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it? Well, do you, punk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of red gum in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger punch.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You shoot your eye out, kid.
I answered. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby!
I am the father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
What's up, film fans? We are finally in October. This is another bonus edition of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan, and I am joined with Mark. So for the first time, I'm joined solely with Mark. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Good. A little bit of a fresh breath of fresh air compared to last week's episode with Jason X. A look back, that's what we talked about last week, was Jason X. So if you guys want to hear how bad we demolished that movie, go back into the archives and wherever you listen to podcasts at, Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and now through the Prescribed Films Network, you can find us on iTunes. Just look up Prescribed Films, the PFPN, and you can find the Cinnamon Movie Podcast on iTunes. You can also find us on social media. We do a bunch of giveaways. We have a big No Time to Die giveaway coming up pretty soon. So find us on the Facebook page at facebook.com/the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast, and then the Twitter is at Cinnamon405. Mark, they can also find you on social media. How can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram under Cinephile_mancave. There's also a little group that I have. It's not a group, actually. It's a page that I've been starting to grow. It's starting to get a little action. It's called For the Love of Movies. You can look that up as well. It's on Facebook. But, you know, it's still growing, and you'll be hearing me on here as well.
Good, man. I'm looking forward to it. So, today, if you guys are joining us for the first time, our bonus episodes, ad-free and completely segment-free, we just dive right into the movie. So we're going to get ready to talk about Jason X. On these bonus episodes that started back in July, we've been doing like a franchise talk. So we went through and talked about a bunch of A24 movies, and now we are on week number 10 of the Friday the 13th series, Jason X. And for those of you that don't or haven't seen it yet, go back and check it out. It's on HBO Max, or no, Jason X is on Peacock. Go and check out Jason X on Peacock, and then come back and listen to our review on Jason X. So I think it'll be pretty fun, and we'll get ready to get into it. So Jason X, currently at IMDb, it stands at a 4.4. Rotten Tomatoes is at 19%, and then the Metascore is at 25%. It had a budget of $15 million, and it grossed a little over $17 million at the box office with an April 26th, 2002 release date. Jason Voorhees returns with a new look and a new machete and his same murderous attitude as he is awakened on a spaceship in the 25th century. Mark, did you see this? Did you get to see this one in the theater? And how was it the first time compared to revisiting it for the episode?
Okay, well, first off, like, I wish I had joined you guys for the first like 8 episodes. It's been great because, as I said last week, I did see these movies in the theater, and they were fun. You know, they were fun to watch, and when you revisit it, it has a different look to it. You know, as not as you get older, but you know, you still get scared at certain points, and it doesn't disappoint, especially in this genre and this franchise. You know, you get scared at the, you know it's coming, you know it will be there, but It's predictable, you know, but I enjoyed it. I really did. But Jason X was not as bad as previous two. It has cheesy moments, which I'm sure we'll discuss. But I feel that it was a way of them trying to, they were trying to give it some life. After limping, limp result for the last two movies. But also, I think Jason X was also being done because that whole thing with Freddy versus Jason, it was being delayed over and over again. So I think that's why they projected in so many ways Jason into the future.
Yeah, I first want to, you know, this was the first installment of the Friday 13th movies that I got to see in the theater. I was like a nice little 11-year-old kid who got to go see his first Jason movie in the theater. So this one always holds like a special place in my heart just because this was the first one for me. But looking at it, you know, almost, 20 years later, it aged a lot better than I thought it would. And maybe that is because I watched it right after 9, Jason Goes to Hell. But the opening credits is kind of what did it for me, man. And the way the movie just starts up with him already captured, and yet he looks so much different compared to all the other films. He almost looks humanized in this movie, but he still has some of the original battle scars on his body, whether it be his hands or his he's got the chip in his mask from, it looks like, when Tommy, you know, did the whole machete into the top left of his head.
Right. Yes. Okay. Good luck. That was a good, nice observation.
So, I enjoy.
Agree with you on that.
Yeah, I enjoy the humanized look of him in this movie compared to some of the last two. What do you think of the way he looked?
I think that you hit it right on, because like I said in the last movie, I think that they they only covered the first few, like the first like maybe 4 films or 5 films. And when you look at Jason X, it's the same thing. You know, I think they did away with the first, they covered 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5, but it was like as if, you know, I shouldn't say 5 because it was not really Jason, but it was as if the first 4 were only covered and everything else afterwards was nothing. It seems like that they just wanted to they did away with it. And it does confirm everything of my suspicions in that way.
But yeah, what did you think of him already being the way just he's already captured? You know, I like how they didn't explain Jason coming out of hell. They didn't really explain anything about part 9, which is fine. What did you think of him already being captured?
I thought it was great. It was Jason. You know, when you look forward to a Jason movie, you never know what you're going to expect. But like in the last couple of movies, I'm reiterating, I just feel that we had all these movies, but I think that the first 4 were the most important ones. That every movie since, if you think about it, since really even last 9, but which was the last movie we just did, it is as if they did away with everything except those first 4 movies. But I will say one thing. I feel that there is something to be said about any of the Friday 13th movies, is that you have these, not shameless kills, but you have these surprise cameos that you might not be aware of. So
yeah.
I don't know if you ever realize these things. So just, you know, you have people that were not stars back then, but they're stars now. I don't know if you ever think about these things, and that happens in a lot of times in a lot of horror movies, because the actors are, they're just trying to get into their, they're trying to get their footing into Hollywood, and you find them in these movies. But you had an established director that was in this movie that had a little cameo. So I don't know if you knew that.
David, are you talking about David Cronenberg?
Yeah, David Cronenberg. Yep, exactly.
We were just talking about The Fly. I think it was last week or on the Dune episode, we were talking about The Fly. And Yeah.
Yeah, so just it was a nice little surprise. Because nobody, I don't think it was advised that he was going to be in a movie. He's the kind of guy that does these things. He doesn't look for that kind of credit, but it was a nice look to say, okay, wow, holy God, that's David Cronenberg. So it's nice to see that. So it was a reverse role, but there have been cameos by many actors in past movies. So it's just something I had more of a segue or, you know, digress from it, but seeing Jason, going back to what you were saying about Jason just being captured right away, it had the same feel as the last movie where you're just in the moment, 5 minutes in, you know, it's not setting up anything. It's, you know, okay, where does it go from here? You know?
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I did enjoy that.
I you know, with you talking about parts 1 through 4, you could almost put this on right after 4, and I bet it would just flow right into the rest of them.
Precisely. And that's, again, that's why I said what I said. I feel that, I don't know if it was the director's intention or the writer's intention to do it, but it feels right.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed the opening. I thought, you know, the whole peekaboo scene where, you know, the guy puts the blanket or the tarp over him, and then Jason is no longer under the tarp. I thought that was pretty cool. And it doesn't open up with like the part 9 did with the whole military feel of them trying to capture him. But, you know, the actress who is she like a doctor? Rowan, she's the one who's trying to like capture him, and kind of like they I guess the government won't let them kill him, or he can't die. They've tried to hang him, she says. So they're like, you know, if we can't kill him, we'll contain him and just kind of freeze him and at least contain him that way, which was pretty smart. You know, I'm not going to say it's like smart dialogue, but it's nothing that's been done before. You know, you don't see stuff like that in the Freddy movies or Halloween. So them whipping that out for Jason X is actually pretty, I think it was pretty cool.
The setup was, how would you say, it was the best intentions always go wrong.
Yeah. So not only does Jason get frozen, but she gets frozen as well.
Yes.
And then you shoot into the year, I believe it was what, 2025 or...
It was the 25th century. It was 2455.
There you go. Yeah. I said 2025. That's like a few years away.
Yeah, that's right. Don't worry about it. I made plenty of mistakes.
The only thing that if I had to gripe a lot about this movie for, it would probably just be the futuristic cast. It felt really made for sci-fi TV. Like, I don't know how it was on your recent watch, but other than Kane Hodder and the girl who played Rowan, I wasn't a big fan of the guy who played Professor Lowe, mm-hmm. or Lisa Ryder, who played KM14. It's just a Friday the 13th movie, but the cast to me just felt very, very generic. How do you think? How do you feel about those guys?
You're hitting it right on the button. Is that the cast was, think about it, the cast members was okay for, so the only people that I knew were obviously, you know, you have Jason, Kane Hodder, but you have Lexa Doig, who I mispronounce her last name, who played Rowan. Lisa Ryder, I knew because she was on the third season of Forever Night, which was one of my favorite shows. So I recognized her. But the rest of the cast, I really didn't. And David Cronenberg, who had that cameo. But really, it was like a Saturday night sci-fi horror film in that respect.
Yeah, and I'm not dogging, you know, any of the sci-fi original movies or anything like that, because some of them are actually pretty good. But it just felt, for it being a big, you know, this is the biggest budget any Friday the 13th movie has had, with almost $16 million budget. With a big budget, it still felt like a cheap sci-fi channel movie.
may have been cheap, but things, I think that, again, it had its moments, like I said. And I think there was another character, which I'm sure we'll discuss, Adrienne Thomas. She played the Doctor.
I've seen her
in some play things also as well, but I just don't remember where I've seen her.
I do like the feel, even though it, you know, I'm kind of going back on what I said about how it feels like a cheap sci-fi movie, but I did like that aspect of the way it felt like a sci-fi movie more than a horror movie. What did you think? Did you like the way how it kind of, they pushed it to feel more like a sci-fi alien movie than, you know, a slasher film? Or do you always prefer, you know, if it's going to be Jason, it has to feel like a slasher film?
Well, when you think Jason, you think slasher.
Yeah.
It just goes hand in hand. I just, like you said, I think that some of the writing was perfect for Saturday Night Theater. Okay, but it was still a Jason film. That's all. It was their way of propelling Jason into the future, and it was a completely different way of things. But it just, I think it was trying, they were trying to set up, I don't know if they were trying to set up the next franchise. I don't know if they were just saying bye-bye to Jason like they tried to do last time. But I did like how they incorporated, obviously, Crystal Lake, the campers, you know, as we'll discuss. But it was, again, they tried their best, much better than in the previous movie, the previous two movies.
We're going to kind of go through the middle scene to where he finally starts thawing out. And I want to bring that up to you because I find it really funny that he starts thawing out in the middle of a sex scene. And I'm like, how 80s does that feel? How slasher film does that feel? Of course he's going to wake up during a sex scene.
Yes. thawing out from frozen water, in fact. So, frozen water, but, you know, from frozen gases that it just melted. Of course, he's going to wake up from that. But it's also frozen in space. You know, there were so many analogies you could think about that. But yeah, I you know, when you think about it, it's definitely funny that how does he wake up? Because of the two teenagers and the teenagers, not just adults, but the teenagers on a trip. And they're doing it behind their adult supervision. So it's like, you know, it just echoes from the first movie.
The first kill pretty much from while he's in space is the girl who's trying to do, I guess, the... she's trying to do, I don't know if you want to call it an autopsy on him, but she's trying to dissect him and trying to figure out what and who he really is. And it might even be, you know, the best kill of the movie, but he pretty much sticks her head in the and then he sticks it in the frozen water and just bashes her whole head in, which I thought was pretty unique. I liked it a lot.
It's pretty unique, but I you know, and that is the most predictable, when you think about it, is the most predictable favorite kill of the movie, but and actually it's my
second favorite.
It's my second favorite, yeah.
So shortly after that, I mean, he gets her, and then it's really not too far to where it almost has an alien like feel to where he's in one part of the ship, and the rescue team or the combat team, if you will, is like on the hunt for Jason.
Right.
I gotta say, I enjoyed the aspects of, for the first time in any of these movies, he is the one being hunted, kind of.
I felt the same way also, but I just think that he was the best way I could explain it is that he didn't really know what he couldn't. He knew his instinct is to kill, but at the same time, he didn't know where he was.
Yeah.
So he was trying to get his footing. Where is he? What are their weaknesses, and how can I exploit them? So it's a different way of looking at it. Yeah, he's being hunted, but he's always aware of what he needs to do. But it was I think one of the first times that he felt that he was not in control of his surroundings. where other times he was.
What did you think of KM14, the cyborg in this movie, who was kind of like the
sex toy of her creator?
Sex toy. She's got some 3PO kind of feels. She's pretty much the life of the ship. What do you think of having a cyborg like that? You think it was a little too obvious?
I think it was too cheesy. It was just too cheesy for words. But I he has a guy that creates KM14, and he's like trying to enhance her, and like he's in love with her. I'm like, oh gosh, please, that's too much. It was just too much, And now I just kept on laughing, giggling. Because it's too cheesy.
Yeah.
But it was a cheesy fun. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's one thing I will say. This movie is cheesy, and it might feel like a cheap sci-fi knockoff, but it is. The kills are fun. I think the score is, while it's not the best score, it is maybe, I would say, there's, 12 movies? I would say it's top five, maybe. It's definitely the better score of the last four movies.
Well, I would say it's the top five, but I would definitely not say it's not the bottom three.
I would say another big issue that I have with this movie is probably the pacing in between the kills. The kills are fun. Obviously, they're going to be the best part of the movie. It's a Jason movie, but some movies are not as easily to go through during the kills. Some of them are, they keep you entertained in the middle of the kills, but this one to me kind of had a little pacing issues in between each kill. What do you think?
For a movie that was maybe a little more than 90 minutes, I think they paced itself well.
So you liked it then, like as far as pacing?
The pace was a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah. It felt like it was trying to get the, if you remember the first movie, with Good Old Mom, it was a very good pace. And same thing with introduction of Jason in the second movie, it was also paced. Having it kill after kill after kill, it doesn't do anything. It's just what it is. It's a complete slasher. But you have to have it where you don't know who's gonna be next. And
did you enjoy the Jason him picking apart and killing off the combat team? Did you enjoy those sequences?
Which one are you talking about? The soldiers, or are you talking about with Sergeant?
The soldiers, like after he
come on. It showed that nothing's gonna stop. Again, it's his killer instinct. He was just trying to gather his footing. And again, he was not aware of where he was, but he just knew what he needed to do. And that was him. You can't stop a killing machine like Jason.
I will say the battle scene between him and the cyborg, him and KM, was a really, really fun scene right before she kind of just like blows his head off.
Again, very cheesy because, it was cheesy but fun to watch because, they always say that, hey, a girl could kick his ass. Well, she not only did it, but she was a cyborg also.
So, before we get into some of the rest of the movie, you said you got to actually, did you watch this one in the theater as well?
Yes, I originally watched it in the theater, and I recently watched it about, I was thumbing through, I think it was on USA, so I forgot what it was, but I was just watching it.
So I know we kind of talked about it at the beginning of the episode, but like you being a diehard original Friday the 13th fan, can you remember your thoughts as soon as the movie was over back in 2002 when you watched this? Were you highly disappointed, or were you like, that was a pretty kick-ass movie?
I felt it was decent. It was not one of those films where I said, oh, okay, cool, I can't wait for the next one, or I kept on saying, well, it was not the kind of movie where I said from the previous movie where I said, oh, God, I can never get my an hour and a half back ever. I enjoyed it, but again, it's not one, it was not my top, but right. I enjoyed it. And, when you watch these films, you try and when I was watching it originally, I was not judging it for a rating. Now, when I rewatch things, I try to be a little more critical and see some of the fallacies, if there are any. You know, I'm one of those people who like to watch, whether it's a franchise or certain movies, over and over again. And I always try to find something new and exciting about the movie. And that includes any of the Jason movies. So it's just one of the things that you don't pick up. Maybe it's because I did not hear it, or maybe it's something that might be. But I remember hearing something about there was a line that they said something about Jason with his someone had a hockey mask. It was in 2020. If I remember that line.
Oh yeah.
And I find it funny because since I just watched it, we're now closing in on the end of 2021, but 2020. I just found it a little amusing. Not hearing that for the first time and then hearing it just recently, it just brought back like, whoa. It's like interesting for the year that we had.
I want to bring it up. I know this is skipping to the end of the movie, but I want to bring it up before I forget. Here on this podcast, sometimes we like to do a lot of like fantasy booking. And looking back at it, I'm kind of like, you know, at the end when he's falling out of the sky and he turns into a shooting star at the end.
Right.
I was almost kind of in my recent watch. I was like, wouldn't that be funny if instead of the next movie, you know, say it wasn't Freddy versus Jason, but it sent him back into like the 80s because he's traveled through time or he fell through space. So he technically doesn't have to be in the future. He could have like fell to back to the original Earth that they were talking about.
Well, technically he was falling as a shooting star, and if you think about it, he was over a lake.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be two teenagers that were just doing what they do, what teenagers do. Okay, so you know, it's not far from the truth when you think about it.
When I saw the IMDb ratings and the Rotten and the Metascore for these, I was like, man, I kind of feel like that's a little too harsh for this movie. I'll never defend, and honestly, I think the only reason sometimes I watch Jason Goes to Hell is just because it's part of the collection, but that's definitely not the first one I'll ever grab to do a rewatch. But yeah, I think those were kind of – when do you pay attention to any of those, whether it be Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb? Like, if it's a movie that you've never seen but you want to see, do you pay attention to those at all?
That's a great question. So let's take Jason out of the equation.
Okay.
Let's take a movie. Let's just take an example, a movie called Shawshank Redemption.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, just an example, Shawshank Redemption. It bombed in the theater.
Yep.
Okay? It was nominated for certain – it was nominated, obviously, for – some Oscars. A lot of movies have been nominated for several Oscars, and they were not that good. But if every time Shawshank is on TV, whether it's on cable or anything like that, I'm drawn to it. I watch it. Not just because of Stephen King, because it is a good, it's an excellent movie. It's an excellent storytelling. So to answer your question, do I listen to the ratings? Not that much. Yeah, it's a guide. But there's always going to be somebody that's always going to pick, they're not going to like it.
Yeah.
There's always going to pick, someone's going to pick that scam because it's not their way of thinking. So, you know, if you take a look at that, the same thing that we discussed last week, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, when it came out, nobody liked it. Nobody liked it at all. When I saw it for the first time, I loved the movie. I liked the idea. What it was trying to present instead of having a slasher film. And then all of a sudden, 30 years later, people are waking up saying, you know, it's not that bad. It's actually a very good, I like the idea behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you have to remember Metascore, when you look at the Rotten Tomatoes and you look at any kind of Metascore, it's based on certain viewership, okay, the amount of viewers that are watching it. So I try not to pay attention to it. You know, back in the day, we had Siskel and Ebert, and, you know, those guys, they were great but they actually analyzed the films and they tried to really give it a fair shake. So, you know, I would listen to them a little more, and yeah, there were some times when I did not agree with them. But it just goes back to that. So, do I listen to, like, when it comes to Freddy movies or Jason movies or any of the Halloween movies? I you have to form your own opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, you know, it could be bad as well, but thing is, if you are true, if you like the genre and if you like the franchise, you're always going to like it. But you're gonna find something and like about it. Not like 8 and 9, but you know, you want to give it a shot always.
Yeah, I always tell everybody, like, especially if it's something you haven't seen, or last year or the year before when we did talk about Halloween 3, you know, none of the other guys had seen the movie. And I was like, hey, you have to go into this kind of with an open mind. Don't think about Michael Myers. Don't even, you know, don't even pay attention really to the name. I was like, pretend you're just watching a movie named Season of the Witch and just have an open mind about it. And I think mostly everybody ended up with positive reviews about it, other than I think Zach didn't really like it that much. But I think he kept, you know, remembering that, hey, the title was Halloween 3. But almost, you know, but yeah, we could save that conversation for a whole other time. I really do think if it's a sci-fi or if it's a like a slasher film, I'm not expecting, you know, like we've talked before, I'm not expecting an Oscar-worthy, you know, Tom Hanks performance. I just want to see some cool special effects, some good, you know, blood scenes, some unique fancy kills maybe, and then obviously the classic, if the killer looks good, then I think the movie is at least already a 5 for me. Because if...
Well, Jason X had the most kills, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people disagree with me, but I said, no, it did. Think about all the kills. You have to really think about who was killed in this movie.
Jason was kind of killed in this movie.
That is true, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how about a whole community was killed.
Oh, you're talking about when the spaceship crashed into the thing?
Exactly. Yeah, in the sense, just right in the middle. Like, that was caused by Jason.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's a first. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. And the reason why, again, if you go back to, again, if you think about this, why the franchise worked in the beginning, with especially in the beginning, is because you did not know who the killer was. You didn't. It was before, you know, you only heard a mentioning of Jason, but you know, you didn't see it. It's similar, very, very similar to like Alien. And Alien, you did not see what the alien looked like. That's what made it terrifying.
Yeah.
Same thing. But as the franchise, you know, went on with Jason and the evolution of his character, it became more of a Jason, aka slasher film.
So let's get to after the cyborg pretty much kicks Jason's ass and blows his head off. You get shortly thereafter the upgraded Jason scene, and then you get round two where he just completely, maybe a throwback to Jason Takes Manhattan, he knocks her block off.
Yes. Yeah.
What did you think of the way they kind of just... they upgraded him. He looked, you know, he looked futuristic. He kind of looked badass. Honestly, I enjoyed the way it looked. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a new look. It, you know, for those people that got tired of the mask, well, you got a mask upgrade. If you got tired, it just everything about it was somewhat different.
And I enjoyed. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just felt it was. I think it was a great. It was a great upgrade, let's say.
Even the poster, like going back and looking at the poster of the whether it be, you know, the physical poster or if you have the physical media of this movie, you know, mm-hmm. we're reviewing the Scream Factory edition, so that's what we're going to be unboxing here in a few weeks when this whole series is over. The poster to this movie is probably one of the best in a while. You have, you know, the old Jason on one side, his upgraded self on the next, and then a nice machete in the middle with the main character in the middle.
Well, that was, I think, New Line's way of, you know, again, that's New Line. They're very flashy with their posters, the way they presented things, but it was definitely a nice addition.
I would probably say it's one of the better posters going all the way back to maybe... the last good poster, I would say, would be the final chapter part. Is it part four? Yeah.
Well, part four was just, it just had a machete and a hockey mask.
Yeah.
I would agree, but I think that, yeah. I was like the first one, obviously, and three was it was attempt for 3D,
yeah,
obviously, which was it was pretty decent, and I think even six was decent.
Yeah, six wasn't too bad. I know you're not a fan of the movie, but you being, you know, a New York guy, did you like the poster of Jason Takes Manhattan? Where he's,
no.
you didn't like that poster either?
I did not. it was everything about the movie. I just did not like it. It just, you know, if I was to review that film, it just no. It was like one of those films. I wish I could unsee it. But you know, it's you know, I feel like I don't know, even know why they made that film, honestly.
I think it'll be a fun conversation on the very last episode that we do when we talk Friday the 13th, the reboot. We're gonna rank all of the Jason movies from our least favorite to our very, very favorite. So hopefully you can join us for that, and you know, we'll talk more about it here in a few episodes from now. After really the upgrade though of Jason, he kind of doesn't have that many more kills. Maybe I would say, like, what? Maybe one or two after that? After he knocks the cyborg's head off. And then you have that scene where he's kind of, like, floating in space, and he causes that air suction vent in the ship.
Right.
And yeah. That's...
Well, there was also the
doctor, right? Or not the doctor?
The killing of the virtual girls.
Oh yeah, yeah. With the like, callback to the sleeping bags.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good scene. Funny scene. You know, it's one of those few scenes that kind of makes you chuckle a few times.
Yes, it did. It just it brings back a lot of memories. I think it was that part six, was it?
Yeah. That's one of those scenes where, you know, maybe a film critic would be like, oh, that is just over the top, you know, too cheesy. You don't need to laugh at something like that. That just ruins the movie. But if you're a fan of these, if
it's hysterical. But
yeah.
It brought back memories of the way Jason always found interesting ways to dispatch people. That's
yeah.
all. I felt that was great.
And if you're, like you said at the beginning, you know, a few minutes ago, if you're a fan of these movies, those are some of the scenes that you're just constantly, you enjoy. And I know they were virtual girls. They weren't real characters, supposedly. But if that was an actor, if you count that as a kill, that'd be one of my favorite kills, too.
But exactly. So if you go back to, let's say, part seven, okay? You know, one of my favorite chuckles is, and everyone was cheering. I remember in the theater, everyone was cheering on when, you know, the doctor basically sacrificed Tina's mother, and, you know, when Jason killed her, and then Jason's now, the doctor's running, and Jason is walking away, and Jason is like, the doctor's running away from him. That's Terry Crews, or for people that don't know, that's Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's, and he's going through, and he, and Jason finds this with a power tool, and he just drills it right into the doctor. Everyone's like cheering. I remember everyone was cheering in the theater. It was so funny. The guy was just totally wrong. You know, it's just, he deserved to die. But it was one of those kills. You remember these little your favorite kills because of that. You know?
What did you think of the girl who got sucked through the vent and just
yes, well, like I said, you know, again, it was one of my favorite kills after that. You know, I will say that it's one of my top three
of the movie.
One of my top three. Yes, it was one of my top three.
Let's talk about it then. the only thing I would probably say that's a little negative about this movie is I didn't like, to me, the ending felt a little abrupt. But I think it's because they didn't want to fully just kill Jason off. They just, it almost kind of was a reserved ending for like, let's not really show him die. Let's just end it and reserve for another movie, maybe.
Again, at 90 minutes, that's the way the movie is. That's cool.
Which, I mean, it's not, I'm not going to take any points off of it. I'm not, you know, saying that was a terrible ending, but you can tell that they just had bigger plans, bigger fish to fry with maybe what was coming shortly after this movie.
Right.
Which eventually is Freddy versus Jason. And I can't wait to talk about it. I think it'll be a fun conversation, fun episode. What do you think of the ending for you? Did you enjoy the ending? Were you kind of like, just, you know, it is what it is, or what did you think?
I'll say this, it was not predictable, because, you know, obviously, you know, Sacha Brodsky was part, he was throughout the whole thing, but, you know, it was great to see him save the day, as I say.
Yeah.
You know, he was sacrificing himself. But, you know, did I see it coming? No, I didn't see it coming. If I watch it over and over again, maybe there was a clue there, but I didn't see that.
So, favorite scene, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to pick just one favorite scene in this movie, as far as, like, you know, kill goes, what's your favorite kill of the movie?
Well, like I said, I obviously loved with the doctor face frozen and smashed to pieces. I did like the girl that got sucked with the grate.
Yeah.
You know, and I even liked the guard and one of the students, he was, you know, they got flashed, they got killed while they were in the virtual, and then it was like it was pretty funny that they were virtual and then they get killed over again. But really, honestly, my favorite death really is the virtual girls.
The virtual.
It brought back a lot of funny memories of watching with being smacked against each other, smacked each other in the bags. It's great. You love it. It just brought back memory.
Yeah, I know it was one of the first few kills, but I would have to agree too. I think the doctor getting her frozen head smashed in was just. It was different. It was it looked gruesome, and you know, honestly, you haven't seen anything quite like that since that movie. So, if it stands out, I always say that's one of my favorite scenes.
Okay.
But yeah, Jason. I think Jason X, Jason 10, however you want to say it. I think it gets too much hate, even from some of the. I mean, I've even seen on social media some of the diehard fans just kind of forget about this movie. But I think this movie, honestly, it would probably make my top five. I know there's only 12 of them, but I think this would probably be number five. I don't think it's a terrible, terrible movie. Some people are giving it 3 stars, 2 stars. IMDb has it at 4 stars. Let's say you, what would you give this out of a 10-star rating like we do? How many stars would you give it?
It's hard to say, but like I said, it's not my top 5 movies, but it's not my bottom 3 movies. It's somewhere in the middle. So, you know, as for it being, so how about this? Let's analyze it a little bit more, okay?
Let's go for it.
Okay, so you had one of the producers was John Cunningham, who was actually the original creator of Friday the 13th. Okay, it was his attempt to come back to the franchise and create something original. So, okay, I'll give that. It was somewhat original what they did with Jason. Okay, and did they have any really huge cast members? No. Think about the original movies. They really didn't have any. The only big cast member they had in the original movie was Kevin Bacon, okay, and he was just starting out there also. So, okay, so again, you didn't have to have stars that had to be there, and you had David Cronenberg, which was great. I love it. But the cheesiness, again, you have to take, you know, with any movie, you have to have any kind of horror film, you can have some cheese, because guess what, with Freddy, you're always going to root for the bad guy. You want to see the kills. You want to do that. So that also increases some of the marketability or the my mark score, as they say. Okay.
I like that. I like that. I see what you did.
So, and like you said, the poster that they had. Again, you know, it's all about that the marketing that they brought into it. Okay, a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, and it was exciting to just to sit. Okay, I'm going to sit down. It's much better than previous movies. So, if I was to rate it from 1 to 10, wow. It's gonna be hard, but the thing is, I didn't hate it, I didn't like it, I didn't love it, so I'm like smack in the middle. So yeah. I would give it, if I was to say something like this, you know, I probably would get a little hate mail for this, like that, but I would give it a 5.
I don't think that's terrible.
No, it's not, because I felt that it was much better than the previous two movies.
Yeah.
It was their attempt to do it. If they, you know, again, like you said, is that they kept it the way they really put it together. I just felt that they did what they can with the movie. How about that?
And I'll go one step above. I'm going to agree with you and say I'm going to give it a 5 as well. But one of the reasons why I think it's a 5 more than a 4, but it's a good 5 to me, and I think it's a good 5 because it's, at the end of the day, it's entertaining. It's Jason in space. He's hacking up some people, and he gets an upgrade while he's up there. I mean, you can't. I mean, I think that overshadows the poor acting or the cheesiness feel or the generic feeling. All that stuff I mentioned overpowers everything to say, you know what, this movie is kind of bad. It's a 3 or it's a 4, it's a 2. I mean, people are probably listening and saying, you know, a 5. Sounds mediocre, and it probably does, but it's a good 5 for me, and it's a 5 that I'll continue to pick up, and you know, when it comes to Jason X, it's watchable and it's entertaining.
Well, yeah, and just as a side of trivia, like I when I post things on my on Instagram, I like to do little trivia notes or I do quotes or something like that, but on trivia. But one thing about this movie also was that. You know, there's a show called Mythbusters. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yep.
Okay, so Mythbusters actually did an episode on this, on Jason X, believe it or not. Specifically, they were talking about the death of the Doctor. And they were determining if, is it possible that someone's head can shatter after being dipped into this liquid nitrogen, is what it was. So it is interesting that how a movie had a profound effect on another show, and they do that. I found it fascinating. I think I was watching it. I went through the channels one time because it happened that way.
When I
looked online, I said, "Oh my gosh, they did cover it."
What was the prediction, or how did the?
I don't remember how it was. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
We're gonna have to YouTube it. We'll mention it.
Oh yeah, you have to look sometimes a lot about that. But it was so long ago. But they cover a lot of different things. I remember seeing that, and I found it funny when you think about those little bits. But also a piece of trivia was with David Cronenberg also as well.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that.
I think a 5 is good. I think a 5 is good for this movie. Like we said, had some good kills. Upgraded Jason. The CGI was kind of cool. The kills were great. You guys can go check this movie out on Peacock. And I think it might be on the free Peacock. I'm not sure. Or you can just pay $4.99 a month for it and check it out that way. Other than that, Mark, man, do you have anything else you want to add to this Jason X episode?
Well, obviously you don't have to watch the previous movies in order to know what's going on.
No, that's cool. Another good thing about it. Yeah, that's another good thing.
It'll satisfy anybody that is a fan of the franchise. Like I said, it didn't disappoint. Not like the previous, but. Again, people always draw into it. People always watch it. There are different franchises I watch time and time again. And, you know, the better question is this. After watching all these movies, when's the next time you are going to watch all 12 movies? Think about that.
That's true. I try to do it once a year, especially around this time of year. We are, you know, just now starting off October, so I always try to watch some creepiest or some of the good spooky season kind of movies. Mark, again, where can they find you at on the social media?
Yes, okay, and again, you can see me on Cinephile _ Man Cave. That's Cinephile _ Man Cave. That's on Instagram. You could also find me on Facebook. There's a group called For the Love of Movies. It's a group that it's a page I'm just starting out. A lot of people have been trying to. It's more of like a blog and everything like that. But trying to get more of a trying to get people out there and trying to see what trying to find out what people like. So it's more my thing. It's my my love of movies as well. But they could find me there. It's easy. It's not hidden at all. So it's like a personal blog. And
good.
They could also find it at Movies Past and Present, now showing in the Man Cave.
Nice. We're a big physical media collector. We love physical media. So, Mark, I think that'll do it, man. Until next time.
No, just watch back. That's all.
All right, man. Well,
it's a part of the pun, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So again, you heard me and Mark's star rating for Jason X. Go ahead and send in your star rating, and we will review it and read out the email on Monday's episode. Send us some emails at cinemen921@gmail.com. That's cinemen921@gmail.com. Also, check us out again on the social media, Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. And yeah, we will read it aloud for Monday's episode as we get ready to go back to the theater and we talk No Time to Die. But until then, guys, next week we talk Freddy vs. Jason on these bonus editions of the Cinema Movie Podcast. And then Monday we go back to the cinemas, we go back to the theater as we review and talk James Bond. The final Daniel Craig movie, No Time to Die, Monday, right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And don't forget, Monday, the top five will be our top five Daniel Craig movies. Let's send out a big salute to Daniel Craig as we talk his top five movies Monday, right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Yeah.